This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Storms bringing in some more flood threat to already hard-hit Kentucky, with 37 dead at this point. The president and the first lady planning to visit Kentucky on Monday. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, it has been really rough for the people there and other parts of the country through various wicked curveballs from Mother Nature, but there is a persistent threat of thunderstorms through this upcoming Thursday that could produce heavy rain and cause flash flooding, especially if multiple storms pass over the same area. And that includes Monday, when the Prez and First Lady are going to join the Kentucky governor and his wife at a Federal Emergency Management Agency State Disaster Recovery Center in eastern Kentucky to survey the damage and meet with the people that have been affected. The heavy rain on saturated soil already, ooh, yikes. It is really, really nasty what has happened there. I mean, Kentuckians have been through a horror show. It's unimaginable. It is absolutely unimaginable what they've had to deal with. I mean, 37 people lost their lives in the flooding after 8 to 10.5 inches of rain fell in just 48 hours in the Appalachian Mountain region. And then that flooding also hit areas across the state line in Virginia and West Virginia, too, as well. I mean, listen, 1,300 people, we were talking about this last week, were rescued in the days after the storm. Teams searched in boats and debris-clogged creek banks and were trying to still, in some areas, restore power and water connections, and it's just been really, really, really tough. In the meantime, forecasters are monitoring a disturbance in the Atlantic as hurricane season nears the peak months. So we're getting close to that time, and as of 8 o'clock on Sunday, the National Hurricane Center gave the tropical wave that's now concerning some people off the coast of West Africa a 40% chance of developing in the next 5 days. You know how that all changes. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration comes up with the predictions for activity in this upcoming hurricane season, and experts are predicting 15 to 20 named storms, 6 to 10 hurricanes, 3 to 5 of them a Cat 3 or higher. And again, August through October, that's where you get the hurricane developments and the rough storms. The 6-month-long hurricane season ends on November 30th. The next named storm is going to be Danielle. So look out. Bat in the hatches. Hopefully a lot of that dissipates and these predictions are off and they don't hit the U.S., but as they develop, wherever they end up developing. And this one, again, this tropical wave, a 40% chance of developing in the next 5 days. They'll update that every single day, so we'll keep you in the loop. All right, speaking of keeping you in the loop, the big story that affects you and I is this last-minute drama on the Hill, the Senate passing the bill. Kamala Harris cast the tie-breaking vote on the Senate bill. So, climate change, drug costs, inflation cap, all of that in this big historic bill, things that were also left out. There was a whole bunch of them. Remember, there was Joe Manchin, who was not going to budge, and he ultimately did just that. And then Arizona Senator Sinema, who demanded several changes be made, and they were. And so then she signed off on it because they had to have, they being the Democrats, those numbers so that it could get across the finish line. Now it goes to the House. The House has the numbers Democratic-wise because no Republicans voted for this. I don't know what happens in the House. And then the president will sign it. There's no doubt about it. Initially, when this was being floated, it was Build Back Better, $3.5 trillion. That didn't wash. Now it's been slimmed down to $1.75 trillion. That's the version the House passed in October, all the way back in October. But Manchin, whose vote was crucial, was not going for it. He shot the bill down in December, and they didn't have it, and suddenly that changed. So now it's been renamed, and of course this is about supposedly killing inflation, but will it really do that? What does it include, right? The one thing that Manchin voiced concerns about was the potential impact on inflation, which of course has skyrocketed over the past year. What will the actual extent of the bill's effect be on legislation? According to the Congressional Budget Office, the latest version of this package would reduce the deficit by more than $300 billion over a decade. But then you really get a closer look at this, and it's not quite what it looks like. There's going to be free vaccines. There's a big overhaul in some areas for Medicare. There'll be free vaccines for seniors, so Medicare enrollees will be able to get all the vaccines, all, at no cost, because only certain ones are free, right? But then all of them would be free. There would be a limit on Medicare out-of-pocket drug costs. People with disabilities, seniors, wouldn't pay more than $2,000 a year for medications at the pharmacy. Insurers and drug makers would have to pick up more of that. But there is some sticking points on this that don't seem as though they will add up. And so Republicans, of course, were critical that the Inflation Reduction Act would do the opposite of what it's intended to do, that it won't do that, that it will drive up inflation and prices. It'll hammer small businesses and American manufacturing. It'll increase the price of gas. And it will sick the IRS on Americans because one of the things that is included in the bill is hiring more auditors to go after small businesses and others and have more audits. And it'll raise taxes on most every tax bracket, including, and this is, again, what many Republicans are saying, those who make less than $400,000 a year. So what we have a 41-year high with inflation in a point in our history where we're looking at a recession that we just don't want to say it's a recession, or is it a recession? So doubling the number of IRS agents, $80 billion for that. So that pretty much would give us all the chance at an audit. That part is ridiculous. I mean, hiring more if you need more to process returns and everything else, and maybe some audits, I get it. But it seems like if it's earmarked specifically for that, who's zooming who here? That's crazy. So is there some good meat in this? I think so. Is there some things that don't add up in it? I think so. What do you think? You can always send me your thoughts. Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. We're headed to the man cave.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at mysolarbackup.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com. Or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. Or by calling 818-965-9113.
Almost back. Can you believe it? Another season. Lots of things happening at training camps. But Saturday afternoon was the Hall of Fame enshrinement ceremony, which is always so cool. Canton, Ohio. If you are a football fan, you need to go to the Mecca. The Mecca is the Hall of Fame. It is really an amazing place to see and to marvel at players from the past and the players who made it into the Hall of Fame. There were seven former players and a former official that were given the sports' greatest honor. And it was interesting to watch some of the speeches and to hear what people had to say about some of the enshrinees, right? So, for example, Tony Boselli was the Jacksonville Jags' first ever draft pick in 95, and he was just so powerful in that offensive line, just incredible for 7 years. And he was named a first-team All-Pro 3 straight years, became the first-ever Jags player to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. And at the end of his speech, Boselli belted out Duval, which is a Jags fan cry, paying a certain homage to the county in which the team plays. So Duval. Cliff Branch played for Los Angeles and Oakland Raiders in the 70s. His 15-year career, won three Super Bowls, was incredible, passed away in 2019, but his legacy was large. His sister made sure everyone knew that he was present watching down with a couple of other Raider greats. So that was pretty cool. The official was Art McNally. He was the first on-field official to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, one of the most, because this is hard, right, with the zebras, he was one of the most respected officials ever, probably. He was involved with the game for almost half a century. He served as the NFL supervisor of officials for 20 years. He was the director of officiating for the NFL for a couple of years. You know, you get it. He retired in 2015. And what do they call him? The father of instant replay. Yeah, Hall of Famer now. Sam Mills, linebacker, and his widow did the speech and ended the speech for the late Sam Mills with one message: keep pounding, because that's what they used to always say. So hashtag keep pounding. And he was, gosh, when he was in the league, he entered the league after two championship winning years in the USFL. He played most of his career in New Orleans, finished his career with the Panthers, and was even named to the first team. He was a first team All Pro in 96 at the age of 37. Leroy Butler, a total stud in Green Bay for a decade. He was one of Brett Favre's favorites on the defensive side of the ball, certainly. And he really reworked the role of safety. He was a first-time All-Pro four different times. He won the Lombardi Trophy. He and Favre won the Lombardi Trophy and the team. So that was good. He was named to the NFL's 1990s All-Decade Team. And he was actually the inventor of the Lambeau Leap. He said 16 years is a long time, but it was worth the wait. Richard Seymour, defensive lineman. He was a star for the New England Patriots during their dominance. He talked about how fortunate he was to play and learn under the late Al Davis, and he made sure to thank his family for everything they did throughout his career. He won three rings with the Pats, so he knows what it's like to win. Dick Vermeil, when you think about NFL coaches, you think of Dick Vermeil. He was, of course, with his Eagles years, but the St. Louis Rams. He won the Super Bowl with the Rams, and he was the AP NFL Coach of the Year in 1990. And the person Vermeil said who was most impactful on his life and career was his wife, Carol, and that was a very big moment for him. Bryant Young, defensive lineman. He gave probably the most emotional speech of the day after the former 49er was inducted to the Hall of Fame. You think about Young won a Super Bowl with the Niners in his rookie year, and he went on to be named to four Pro Bowls. He was also named a comeback player in 1999 after suffering a really devastating injury the year before. He broke his leg, which required a rod to be inserted to repair the broken bone, and then he fully recovered. He went on, was set to record 70 tackles, 11 sacks, you know, that whole kind of thing. It was emotional because he also gave a tribute to his son, Colby, who lost his battle to cancer at the tender age of 15. But he ended his speech letting Colby know that his memory still lives on, and a standing ovation was given to him. It was really, really emotional. So congratulations to everyone who made it into the Hall of Fame. That is quite an honor. No doubt about that. Speaking of NFL news, we're getting closer to the season. It feels so weird, right? In a month from now, less than a month from now, fantasy football teams will be drafted. More people will be getting in maybe pools, but they'll be paying attention to who their team's playing and the schedule and everything else. And, of course, we'll be doing Nail the Score again here on the show. More details we'll announce more of those details in the next couple of weeks. But there's some movement. There's things that happen in this off season. Who makes the cut, who doesn't, of the young and hungry, or somebody who gets lucky. It's interesting. There was even a story I was reading about running back Kareem Hunt. He was looking for a contract extension. He's requested a trade from the Browns, but the team has privately declined that request, supposedly. He's in the final year of a two-year, $12 million deal, and he's missed the team drills the past two practices, but he actually returned on Sunday. So, hey, you stuck, buddy. You got to return. That's what you got to do. Major League Baseball some interesting things have happened in baseball, including this story about Pete Rose. Pete Rose dismissed questions on Sunday about his first appearance on the field in Philly since the franchise scrapped plans in 2017 to honor him because of a woman's allegation that baseball's hit king had sex with her when she was a minor. He said he declined to answer questions. Rose is 81 now. Any questions in the dugout moments after a team photo in the outfield was meant to celebrate the Phillies' 1980 World Series championship team and other former players. So the reporter tweeted that after the ceremony, Rose asked her if he had offended her and offered to sign 1,000 baseballs for forgiveness before ultimately saying he was sorry because she asked a question about it. And he said to a female baseball writer for the Philadelphia Inquirer, a huge paper in Philly, it was 55 years ago, babe. 55 years ago. So there you go. He made his first appearance and made some noise on the playing field in Philly since getting a lifetime ban from Major League Baseball in August of 1989. And initially, after getting booed lightly, he received a standing ovation from Philly fans. He was the hit king, Pete Rose. I have an interesting story quickly about that. I was at Nolan Ryan's, in the great pitcher, his induction ceremony at the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. And I did I had done several interviews with him, and I did a one-on-one interview with him there, and I asked him, because Pete Rose was down the street signing baseballs and all that stuff, and I asked him, should Pete Rose be in the Hall of Fame? And he said, absolutely. He shouldn't be allowed to be in the game of baseball again, but he was the hit dude. He was the hit king. Absolutely, he should be in the Hall of Fame. You know, that was a long-time debate about Pete Rose and his career, especially after, obviously, the baseball ban. All right, contract talks. We're going to end with this one. The Lakers and LeBron. Can you imagine LeBron playing anywhere else? He is Mr. L.A. now. LeBron James and the Lakers had productive discussions about their future together, supposedly just a few days ago before the weekend. So he's meeting. He's talking. Will he be back? He is eligible to sign a two-year, $97.1 million contract extension with the Lakers. He's entering his contract's final year worth $44.5 million. He's going to be 38 years old when his current deal is up. How long will he play? That's a big question. Stay with us.
I'm about to give you a life-changing URL that if you will simply visit it and give these tax consultants a call, it will change your life. Whether you're a blue-collar worker or whether you're a school teacher or whether you're a scientist or whether you're a millionaire, almost no one out there is taking advantage of legal, lawful tax loopholes. Go to gcntaxcut.com. It takes you right to American Tax Solutions, and they will give you an amazing preview of what they can do for you. gcntaxcut.com, gcntaxcut.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News.
I'm Tony Marusso reporting. The Senate Sunday passed the Inflation Reduction Act in a party-line vote. Vice President Kamala Harris casting the tie-breaking vote.
The yeas are 50, the nays are 50. The Senate being equally divided, the Vice President votes in the affirmative, and the bill, as amended, is passed. Yeah!
There's a tourist lockdown going on in China.
About 80,000 tourists are stranded in a southern Chinese beach resort after authorities declared it a COVID-19 hotspot and imposed a lockdown. Within the last 2 days, there were 358 cases. China's ruling Communist Party sticks steadfastly to a zero COVID approach. Railway authorities banned all ticket sales, while all flights were also canceled. For the USA Radio News Los Angeles Bureau, I'm Ellie Andrews.
This is USA Radio News. I'm Tony Marissa reporting. New York Democratic Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, she said the evidence coming out of the House January 6th committee investigation is shocking. And she expects the Department of Justice to take action.
I think for Merrick Garland to see this evidence, he should be doing his own full investigation. I will expect indictments out of the Department of Justice in the weeks and months to come.
The head of the Republican Party in Collin County, Texas, defends censuring Senator John Thune, who's been censured by his party in multiple Texas counties. At issue is his co-authoring of the gun safety legislation signed by President Biden. Speaking to ABC affiliate WFAA, Collin County Republican Party Chair Abraham George said new laws always infringe on the rights of law-abiding citizens.
The criminals don't care about having a red flag laws. They don't care about putting a gun-free zone. They don't look at those signs.
I'm Tony Marussa for USA Radio News.
I know I need to pay attention to my health, but I just can't seem to find the time. Between rushing to work and taking care of the kids, there's not much time left over for me. So I decided to start small by eating more fruits and vegetables and being more active. And then I got the family to make some changes too. We started by keeping a bowl of fresh fruit on the counter, and I limit the amount of sweet snacks I keep in the house. I've also found some creative ways to add more vegetables to our meals. We're taking more walks, and on the weekends, we head down to the pool at the rec center. It doesn't happen every day, but it does happen. You don't have to change your entire life to be healthier. Just make some simple changes and include your family. You'll see how easy and fun it can be.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard, and when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
Of this man's life. In fact, some of what he's done, I've now put on my list. You know that infamous bucket list people talk about. So Bernie McCauley is in our virtual green room, and he was raised on a cattle ranch in eastern Montana. Then he ended up working for the airlines, so you know what that means. You're open to lots of travel. He is a guy who likes to fish and hunt and even team roping. And this is the key thing in the shadows of Sawtooth Ridge. So the name of the book that he's written is The Shadows of Sawtooth Ridge. Bernie, thanks so much for coming on.
Yes, thank you for having me.
I don't know if I would be so great at hunting because I'm not a great shot, but fishing, I think I could maybe give you a run for the money.
There's lots of fishing out in that area on the Missouri River. If you travel between, say, Great Falls and Helena, in fact, about this time of year, you will see a lot of people floating the river and fly fishing and so forth. And beautiful country, it really is. One of the people I was ended up fly fishing with one morning was Roy Rogers.
Wow! Really?
Him and his manager was down there fly fishing. They were holding a show at him and the Sons of the Pioneers were at a show at Montana State Fair in Great Falls at the time. So,
how interesting.
It was, it's nice country. Team roping. We used to team rope at a ranch up in the shadows of the Sawtooths, usually weekly. It was kind of a... I'm trying to think what the word is. We call it jackpot roping, where we throw in so much money, and whoever's the fastest time gets to go home with the money.
Nice. I like that. That sounds very, very interesting. So tell us about the book. Why did you write the book?
The book is a combination of a whole bunch of stories put together. It's my experiences with the airlines, and if you've been with the airlines at all or heard enough, there's a thousand stories there. And my time, I've worked up in Glacier National Park as a packer and a dude wrangler, we called it, back in the 70s or early late 60s, I guess, taking groups out and also packing into supplies into the fire lookouts and two chalets, the Granite Park Chalet, which is just back in operation after a big fire here a couple years ago. And, the Sperry Chalet is. The Granite Park Chalet is, has a book of its own. It's called The Night of the Grizzly, which was about the happenings of up there in 1967. So, and it's, we're talking about Mount Rainier earlier. I've been up and down the Pacific Crest Trail by horseback. Amazing how many pictures are taken between the ears of horses that we have. And some of the stuff is my error. We do have crew members that do commute. My son is one of them that commutes out of Palm Springs to Seattle or San Francisco.
Yeah, as far as flying, yeah, because he's a pilot, right?
Yeah, he's a flight attendant.
A flight attendant, yeah. So, so again, he gets the benefit of the travel because you have the travel benefits, too.
Yes, yes, he certainly does.
Yeah.
Yes, he certainly does. He was in Boston and Hawaii in the last couple of weeks, so he's
rough.
Around.
Rough. And you also talk about, being a POW, returning home after the Vietnam War, finding that life has changed drastically. And now a single father of two, that's the book. That's the, you know, the Shadows of Sawtooth Ridge.
It's a book. It's about one person's life who we did have a POW that flew for us. I've never met the gentleman. But we did have a POW that did fly for us, and he did come home, and he ended up retiring not too far back, I understand. And apparently he was a super, super nice guy. But I kind of threw that in, and commuting out of Great Falls, and having the ranch up in Augusta, Montana, which is at the front of the eastern slope of the Rockies. If you've ever been up there, David Letterman has a home up there, in fact, in that area.
Yeah, beautiful.
And brought in the fact of PTSD, which in that time period, was a lot of our servicemen that came back from Vietnam. And it just... to me, it's some of the trials and tribulations that went with him, and how past life, this gentleman was in college rodeo, high school rodeo, and he had a young lady who really liked him, and for some reason they never got together until after he returned from Vietnam and decided to assume the family ranch up in Augusta. And they kind of worked out their differences over the period of time and ended up getting married and trying to have a good life together and so forth. So I'm working on a second book now of his daughter, Joni, who is going to to be following her father's footsteps in the Navy and so forth. The only difference is that her father attended a state university before entering the Navy, and she attended Annapolis Naval Academy. So that's the only difference in the two areas. So, and she has her own problems, such as being a female in an all-male society, which started about that, but brings that along.
So,
but
really,
it's a beautiful country there.
Yeah, so really your story is so much about people. It's about people and what they've encountered, and then what happens when you are there in the shadows of Sawtooth Ridge. Was it fun for you to write this?
Yes, and another thing that comes into mind is the stump, the cottonwood stump. In fact, I'd love to write a story about the cottonwood stump. But the stump becomes kind of a silent person in the family, or a silent object in the family. We're in the beginning of where Larry came back to the ranch. He ends up spending quite a bit of his time down near the creek. And as you noticed, that he's listening to the trout in the creek. He's listening to the owls and the coyotes, kind of nature talking to him, and trying to smooth his nerves and his mind, clear his mind, so to speak. And that stump becomes pretty pretty famous in the rest of the, in the next few books I hope to write. In fact, we got a thing going in Facebook right now where some of my friends were trying to find a name for the stump.
I love it. That's good engagement, getting people involved in weaving together a novel and taking all that you know and putting it in that. What do you hope people take away from this first one? What do you hope they take away from reading The Shadows of Sawtooth Ridge?
Mostly entertainment. It's I've had it out there a couple times, a couple places, and one of the places they had it, they felt that it would make a good Hallmark movie, because it's not that long. You can probably read the book in a two night sitting pretty easily, but it's entertainment mostly, but also kind of our lives out in Montana, out in the area. A lot of our ranchers are family ranchers. Our ranch was a family ranch, was in the family since 1911 until it was sold afterwards. But we grew up on the prairies of eastern Montana, and I learned to love the mountains when I went to work in Glacier National Park. And of course, both areas, working with people in Glacier Park and working with people at Northwest Airlines, you hear a lot of stories. You need to put them together and so forth.
Yeah.
And stories is something that goes on in our whole lives. We sit down and we talk with each other over whether it's a fire or whether it's a table. We all tell stories.
Boy, that's true. It's the art of storytelling. Bernie McCauley, thank you so much. You can get the book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. We appreciate you coming on the show.
Hey, thank you very much for calling. I appreciate it. You have a good day.
You too, Bernie. Thanks.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you prepared for more severe food shortages? It's likely that over the next year, serious food shortages will plague us. American farmers are dealing with insane diesel fuel prices and fertilizer shortages, which will lower crop yields. And that means your family's favorite foods will soon be in short supply while fetching sky-high prices. Inflation is the new normal, folks. It's time to act before things get even worse. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com without delay. You'll find ready-hour emergency food kits from My Patriot Supply that lasts up to 25 years in storage. Each kit provides over 2,000 calories a day to keep your energy up. Order your emergency food kits today by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your food ships fast and arrives in unmarked boxes. Listen, there are ways to beat food shortages. When you're ready for real preparedness, make sure to look for Ready Hour Foods from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
This time around on Author's Corner, pleased to welcome to the show David Porter. His book is called The Trial, and The Trial is based on true events. David, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
So tell me what led you to write this book.
Well, there was a lot of different things. Mainly, I felt that it was therapeutic to write about such a traumatic event.
Yeah, so tell us about the event so everybody knows what the book's about.
The book is about a defendant going to trial, but it is seen through the eyes of the defense, which is something that you really rarely see in television and movies.
Boy, that's true. So tell us about the actual event and what led the defendant to the position that the defendant was in.
Well, that part is actually not even discussed within the book as far as what led the defendant to be on trial.
Uh-huh.
And stuff like that. It's just about the different emotions that happens within the while hearing the case and the way that the prosecution, their version of events versus what really happened.
But the version of events, the defendant was on trial for attempted murder, right?
That is correct, yes.
Yeah, so that really paints the picture then. That means that, you know, if it's me and I'm on trial for attempted murder and you're seeing it through my eyes, imagine what that would be like, especially if I'm innocent and I'm watching it all unfold around me and I know that I'm fighting for my life. So describe, if you say it's a different point of view from the defendant, what is that like for the defendant? What are the emotions that the defendant feels? Take us inside that as it would make us really want to read this.
Well, it's just like anything else. Your confidence goes up and down. I mean, because if you're talking about attempt murder, this is some serious time that you can face, you know, behind bars.
Yeah.
And because that's, depending on what state you're in, that can be, you know, 10, 12 years.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and juries can be unpredictable. As it is with any other parts of nature, that's completely out of your control. So when you're putting your faith completely in someone else's hands, in this case that would be the jury, you do have that moment of what if this doesn't go the way that I thought it would or hoped it would. So you do have to mentally prepare yourself for the worst case scenario.
Yeah, and in dealing with what's the worst case scenario, I mean, how long are you dealing with that? And in the book, what does that length of time feel like?
Yeah, that's kind of a weird thing because in real time, that can be a matter of minutes. But when you're going through it, it can seem like hours. Especially that time in between when the case is over and then they put the jury in the back and then you wait on the jury to come back with a decision. That can be, you know, the longest part of your life, that not knowing of what can happen next.
Yeah, hashtag minutes seem like hours, and we won't reveal the ending of it because, of course, that's one of the big surprises. But what about dealing with a lawyer? What about, you know, putting yourself in their hands too? Because it's the jury, but if you're a defendant, you have someone defending you, so you have to trust them.
That is also true. You do have to trust the lawyer. And if you think about everything that's going on in society today, when people talk about public defenders versus paid lawyers and how they say that there's a discrepancy in the law and how well defendants are represented in court, that is also a very big issue because there is a time there where you think that the lawyer may not have your best interest at heart.
Yeah. What do you hope people take away from reading the trial?
There's a few things. One, that defendants are human too. They also go through emotions. This is a situation that anybody could necessarily find themselves in. That the criminal justice system and the way the courts and things are set up, it's not something that everybody sees, but it's something that is a part of our society, and it is something that we should think about.
So looking at how it's set up and the length of time it takes and how people get attorneys and just everything from A to Z in between.
Yes, because you know, on TV, a lot of that stuff is distorted and seems to happen very quickly, but that is not the case at all.
All right, so for you, after writing the trial, will you write another book?
Never say never. I am always open to writing another book and doing more and more different things and bigger things.
Yeah. Interesting. David Porter, this, when we look at the timeline of this, does it take us from the very beginning of what happened to the very end?
It just takes us through the court part. So
yeah.
it this after the jury had been selected and judge is ready to start the case.
Wow. All right. Through the eyes of the defendant in this book, The Trial by David Porter, you can get it wherever great books are sold. Of course, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. David, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You know, it's interesting in listening to David, who didn't give us a lot of details of, you know, gave us the broad details of what it would be like to be a defendant, and what he's saying is, hey, there's not anything from that perspective. And I thought about that when we had an off-air conversation, and I remember, he's right, what you see on TV. I remember being a kid and watching L.A. Law with my mom and seeing that you see the process, right? And you really don't see so much from the, even in Hollywood, you don't see very much from the defendant's point of view. I mean, what is that like to suddenly be thrust into the legal system at any level? I mean, here we're talking about attempted murder, and then you're in the court, and you're in the court system, and you go through what happens to you when you can't afford huge legal bills. So an incredible attorney, because they always talk about that, right? Who's the attorney? You get what you pay for, and then how that's handled, and then what it's like to be in front of that jury and the judge, and day and day and nights and going through that. And especially, like I said, imagine if you are innocent or there are facts in the case that aren't known that could really swing something either way. And it really is life or death in this case. That and I say death because, poof, you know, imagine that you're sitting there and you're behind bars and you know that it's not playing out the way that something happened, or it's not playing out the way you didn't do it, but you're in the thick of it. So looking at it through the eyes of the defendant is got to be a scary thing. And it is scary anytime anything legal happens, as we know. That's why, you know, that's one of those great fears. I'm reading a book called Courage that reminds me of what David's written from the defendant's point of view. And they talk about the fear, you know, the fear of what are the things that you fear. And this is high up on that list, fearing that suddenly you find yourself where you have to defend yourself. And it really comes down to you. You can have all the people in the world pulling for you and giving you even advice on the sidelines, but they're not in your shoes, and they're not dealing with what would that be like, as he said, to put your, you know, to put everything into the jury. Everything goes to the jury, they have it, and you have no idea what's going to come back. Even if everybody tells you what they think the outcome's going to be, you have no idea of what's going to happen. It has to be one of the most frightening moments that anybody can imagine, going through that process and then waiting to see what a jury says. All right, thanks to David for that, and all of you for listening. Remember to make it count, everybody.
Feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. Drinksupertea.com.